Let's stand together as we join for our call to worship. Rise and greet the morning. Cast off your sleep now. Arise, meet the risen Christ, who comforts our grieving hearts, who encourages our faltering steps, who wrinkles us with compassion, who raises us. Rise and sing your praise as we join in our opening hymn. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. You may be seated. As we come into this time of prayer together, we do want to remind you to look through that list of those who've asked for prayer. And I'm sure that there are others who are on your heart today, other needs and other concerns. So as we go to the Lord, just quiet yourself, and whatever's on your heart today, lift it up to the Lord, place it in God's hands, because we do really believe that where we're gathered, God is listening, that God is aware. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do gather here to praise you and to honor you. We come to bring you glory, to acknowledge your presence in our lives. As we continue through this Easter season, that is what it about. We serve a living Savior who is in the world today with us, walking with us, available to us. You are here right now. Scripture teaches us that you know in advance, even before we ask, what it is that we need. But you find joy
those who are on this list. There are so many varying needs, and yet you know how to attend to each one. And we know there are things that are in our hearts, things that have remained unspoken, but you already know them as we speak them silently before you. Hear our prayers, Lord. For those who are needing encouragement, provide that. For those who are struggling with their health, renew them with your Holy Spirit and bring them healing. For those who are grieving, give them comfort. Comfort in the awareness that just as you have raised your son, that you're going to raise their loved ones as well who have trusted in you. As we face whatever it is that is going on in our lives, we know that we need you. Our hope is in you. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you walk with us each day and are always available anytime. So we ask all of these things. We lift them up to you and we pray them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Well, this is the time that we would normally pass a plate for offerings, but we've been placing these plates here and in the back so that you can drop your offering there. And if you have not yet done that, you can do that later. But let's offer a word of thanksgiving and praise to God for the offering. Heavenly Father, it is because you have blessed us and given us resources that enable us to give back. We bring these gifts, our tithes, our offerings. But with them, we are presenting our lives, our talents, a sign that we honor you, that we're grateful to you for all that you do, and our desire, Lord, is to be a part of what it is you're doing in the world today. And so we pray your blessing upon each giver and upon each gift. Give us wisdom and direction as to how we apply what we receive so that these gifts might honor you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's remain standing for the reading of Gospel. We're looking at Luke chapter 24 today, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days? And he asked them, What things? And they replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, and they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's sing together. "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and sun, moon, and stars in their courses above join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, mercy. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 1,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Let's pray. O God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant and to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine and some that are yours. So let my just finished Lent, and the season as we follow Jesus, where are we following him to? Jerusalem, right? And he got to Jerusalem where he was celebrated as he came into town as a king. And then he was betrayed, and he was denied, and he was deserted, and he was crucified and died and was buried. And then, of course, came Easter. Wonderful day. Such a glorious day because he rose from the dead. And everything that had gone wrong in the world was now being corrected as he rises. But we're called to continue following him. And continuing to follow him means that we have to believe more than that he existed and that these things happened to him back then. It's about more than that. It's about letting who he is presently, what he has taught us, let that shape who we are now because he lives. And so where is Jesus today? How do we follow him if he is around? It sure seems like those who lived 2,000 years ago had a lot easier. Since they got to see him, they got to hear him, they got to touch him, they got to walk with him, and he walked with them. How do we do that now? Luke says that after Jesus rose from the dead, no one recognized that Jesus was there, not at first, that this was him. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near, went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This was right after Jesus had risen just a couple of days before. They had been with him. And these two disciples were on the road talking about what happened on the way to Emmaus, where they lived. But when he started walking with them, they didn't. Is Jesus with us right now and we don't know him? Where's he at? What's he doing? Luke 24 says, as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared. So now you see him, now you don't. Where do we find him? We have these images in Scripture. Think about it. When you picture Jesus, what do you picture? Maybe see a scene around a sea. Or maybe you see him on the side of a mountain with people gathered around, or maybe in a vineyard. Or you see this picture of him, a man with long hair, a beard, wearing a robe, wearing sandals. That's the picture most of us have. We have them around the church. We have them in our Sunday school classes. We see that picture of Jesus. Jesus, a storyteller, children gathered around. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, healing a blind man, Bartimaeus, raising his good friend Lazarus from the grave. That's the image that we see of Jesus back then. But what about today? Sometimes Jesus seems like he's just a two-dimensional picture, sort of like the character Flat Stanley in the children's book. He's there on the page. Is that it? Why does it matter? Well, it matters because it's hard to follow just a character in a book, isn't it? How can he have any power in our lives if that's all there is? We may follow the Bible, but then not be following Jesus. Of course, many then, apparently, failed to see what he was doing even then, understand what he was doing. Though they were around, a group of men caught a woman in the act of adultery, brought her to Jesus. Caught her in the act. Nobody bothered to ask, where's the man? He was caught in the act too. But they brought her to Jesus, cast her at his feet, said, this woman's doing what she shouldn't be doing. And the Bible says someone doing what she was doing should be executed. Well, they were following what the Bible says in some places, but they weren't following Jesus. Because Jesus was encouraging kindness and understanding and forgiveness. So Jesus said, if any of you are without sin, if you don't have, if you're the one done that, then you can throw the first stone. Go ahead. And they just all walked away. Why? Because all of them, they all had sin. Every last one of them. No one was eligible to throw the first. But you know what? People, they did that. They still do that today. People still do that kind of thing in the world today. A Christian school in Texas, not that long ago, fired a teacher. She was having a baby, but she wasn't married. This could be Mary's story, Jesus' mother. What did the school teach? She paid the price. The man had no consequences. I don't think they were following Jesus. But that's the kind of thing that can happen in our lives. When we imagine Jesus, we only can see Jesus, this picture of Jesus, on a page in a book. And we leave him there. Now, the Bible is called the living word of God because it is our primary written source for learning about the Lord, right? And when we read the words, they breathe life into us. And as we read it, it shows us how Jesus lived and treated others. But you know what? I need more than information, don't you? I need more than that. I want to experience God in my life. That's what John Wesley taught, that we need to experience. We are shaped by scripture and tradition and reason and experience. We can actually experience God in our lives. That's why many people on this very weekend all over the country are off on retreats. They call them Emmaus walks. People going off because they want to invite God closer, to refresh their experience of the Lord in their life. Named after this experience in Scripture of these two disciples on the road. We can have a real encounter with Jesus today. That's what John chapter 16 shows us, beginning in verse 12. Talks about that. If your faith is dry, is this what it says, beginning there in verse 12? Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all now. But when the advocate, the friend, the Spirit of truth comes, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth that there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is happening, about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is mine, and that is why I have said, he takes from me, delivers it to you. Jesus is saying, you know what? There's going to be a time you're not going to see me. And then in a little while, you will see me. God has more to teach us. More that's not even written. There's other passages that say there, Jesus did many more things, said many more things. They're not all written down because there wouldn't be enough books. There wouldn't be enough libraries to hold them all. We'd like to know more of those things, wouldn't we? We learn more about our faith as we think about how he describes relationships, how they're supposed to be, and we apply that to our lives. We allow him to lead us. We may not see Jesus the way the disciples did, but you know, the Spirit is with us. Scripture says where two are more, present now. In fact, Jesus says because the Spirit is with us, as in us, we can can accomplish even more than he did. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? The Holy Spirit teaching us things that aren't recorded in the Bible so that we can today recognize things we can do for him in the world now, that we can live with purpose. If we leave him, though, in the Bible, we might not ever see him working. But if we seek the Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what's going on, we'll begin to see him. Acts 9, verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And Jesus said to him, Get up and go to the street named Straight and the house of Judas, and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. At this very moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him that he might regain his sight. This story is an example of the Holy Spirit giving someone very specific details about what they needed to be doing in that current moment. This is after Jesus has died, after Jesus has risen, after Jesus has already ascended, and yet he has this vision giving him guidance as to what he should do. You know, this kind of stuff, it can happen today as well. It does happen today. Ananias discovered this while he was praying. When a friend of mine, a member of the church in Vienna, I did time in Vienna, in the church, not the prison. but there was a member, his name was Yule, and he shared this story with me. One day he'd been praying and doing his devotions, and he had this very strong sense that he needed to be driving down to Paducah. That's where you really want to shop. You drive down to Paducah. There was a Home Depot. There were some things he needed to get. He knew he needed to get those things, but he didn't know why today, on this particular day, there was such an urgent need. It could wait, but okay, I guess I need to do that. So he drove down to Paducah, went to Home Depot. He went in, and there, roaming around the aisles, was an older member of the congregation, a retired elderly pastor from our church. And he'd gone down there somehow or another. I don't know, car went off the road or something, broke off his mailbox. He thought, I'll just go down there and get a new post, bring it home, get somebody to install it. It wouldn't fit in his car. And he said, what in the world am I going to do? Not such a big deal, you would think, you know, but okay. He needed somebody right then. And he'll said, you know, that was God. I had no idea. Really? Yeah. I think he's right. The fact is, the only Jesus we may ever see in this life is the one that we see in each other as we open ourselves to God's guidance and are attentive to each other, listening for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes it possible for us to know even specific plans. That's what John's gospel is saying, and that's why I went into ministry. Really believe God spoke to me to go. I ended up going to Louisiana and then doing campus ministry at LSU. And then in 2011, returning to Illinois, believing God was calling me back. And to go to Vienna and then to Olney and then to Pinckneyville and now hanging out with you sometimes. I believe that this is God calling me for such moments. Jesus says the Spirit will take what is mine and show it to you. Day by day, the Holy Spirit with us, even today. John says that these two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they didn't recognize him because Jesus was coming to them in a new way. And the reality is that God is coming to us in a fresh way too, through the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you this advocate, and he will guide you. Have you seen him? Have you heard from him? Are you looking for him? God is with us right now. Incredible to me to realize that he can be so present everywhere, that that's our God. Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do greater things. I still am baffled by that, but yet I've seen amazing things done by people you wouldn't know their names. Scripture says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Church isn't a building. We say we're going to church, we're going to the gathering of two or three that are gathered, or however many. as I used to be a pastor in O'Fallon, and lots of Air Force folks, and they had been stationed in the state of Washington, and so we went up to visit them, and they were telling us about all the friends that they made, and they said, you know, we're sensing God working in us in new ways, fresh ways here, and they said there was a couple that had known socially that I'd called them, wanted to stop by for a few minutes to talk to them, and so they came over, and the couple said, you know, we have a question, important question we need to ask you, and they said, you know, we were just wondering, it's a big deal, but would you be willing to be the guardians of our children if something ever happened to us? I mean, being in the military, things happen. So the couple said, we were totally shocked, and only known them socially. So they told them, said, you know, we are Christians. And so if we were to do this, we would need you to need to know that you're okay because with that, because we would be raising them in the church. We would be raising them to know Jesus and follow Jesus. Oh, yeah, we know that. We discovered that about you. In fact, that's why we're asking, because you've helped us to see how important faith really is to us, and we want our children to experience it. We want them to know that same thing. If something would happen, we'd want that to continue in their lives. You see, others see Jesus in you if you're inviting him into your life. They see the evidence. Every day, people looking for God, where will they see him? Ephesians 1st chapter, verses 17 through 20, Paul wrote, my prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power that he used when he raised Christ from the dead and let him sit at his right hand in heaven. Paul is saying that even when you're struggling in life, that the Spirit of Christ is alive and available and present and living in you. And so you do have the power. You do have the power to do what God is asking you to do. Paul's prayer for all of us is my prayer for all of you, that you will be able to see the living Christ with your eyes, to hear him with your ears, because the Spirit is available to you, to us right now, if we simply invite God to work in us and work through us. But sort of like the character Obi-Wan Kenobi says in Star Wars to Luke Skywalker, use the Force, Luke. Trust me. Use the Force. And what Scripture seems to be saying to us is, use the Holy Spirit, folks. Trust me. Use the Spirit. Follow me. And if you do, you will see God's Spirit work today. How? By asking specifically, God, guide me in this situation, whatever that is. And then place whatever that burden, that concern, that need is, place that in God's hands. The God you already know. And ask God to lead you. Because this is the truth. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is not just a figure on a page in the Scriptures, but a living Lord. And with us now, are so faithful. And what Scripture says is true. So we look for you today. Thank you for being with us each step of the way, each and every day. Give us confidence to look to you and invite you into our lives in all